Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service pharmacy that combines convenient packaging, modern technology, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 236, February 24th, 2016. Valerie and Jerry bring us the great video of the KP5 Palmyra de-expedition. Good evening, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID, right here in the Ozarks. And another one of these fascinating shows. We got lots of information tonight. Before I start, I want everybody to do this for us. Please take this survey. It's very important that you do this. Leo needs us all to just go to twit.tv/survey and push the button and just let them know you like what shows. And we would hope that you list Ham Nation as one of those. But we really need your input. This is very important, so let's pass the word to all your friends. Go let them vote on your favorite Twit show here on the network. And if you've never tuned around on the network other than this show, you really need to. I mean, there are some fascinating things on Twit, and you want to do that. So please take that survey. So let's see what we got tonight. We got, of course, we have Gordo down in Costa Mesa, California. How you doing, Gordo? You okay?
You caught me looking up the date for the Limark Ham Fest this coming Sunday, the 28th. I think so. Yeah, you caught me on the run, Bob. We are fine. Back to you.
That's what we love about live. I mean, it proves that we are live. Now, we're going on a hard drive, so you can dial it up anytime later, of course. But what's going on in Mississippi? George, you didn't have any problems with the storms, right? You're okay?
I'm okay. No problems with the storms, although I did get in a fist fight with the transmitter a little earlier today.
But
I won. I'm getting ready to do a little painting here, Gordo. I just wonder, is this color okay with you?
Yeah, just don't breathe the fumes.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've got a short video from Randy tonight showing one of his recent projects here, but we'll be back a little later with that.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, we love what you and Randy cook up. That's really great. And Don, how are you? You escaped this storm. You had some bad stuff come through there, right?
Yeah, there were some horrible tornadoes around the New Orleans area yesterday. And in fact, there was a tornado vortex signature right over my house that I looked at, saw it on radar, and I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So I pulled up the Storm Chaser website, and I saw a storm chaser about 2 miles from my house right underneath the thing. And it passed right over my house and then dropped down and actually got on the ground and did some damage to a convenience store about 7 miles up the road from me. But there were three deaths in New Orleans, the New Orleans area yesterday to the west of New Orleans, and three water spouts at the same time right together in Lake Pontchartrain was the strangest thing I've ever seen. But I made good use of this ID51 yesterday, not on D-Star, but on analog, checking into and listening to the Skywarn net. This is the best thing in the world to have, any handheld. When you've got severe weather come in, make sure you have one of these things with you, Bob, and we'll We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But we've got some good stuff tonight. We've got Newsline, of course. And I understand that we've got a fairly interesting audio alley tonight.
Gordon and Bob show an audio alley in a little bit. Before we start, I have to tell you a couple of things. First of all, I invited you to go to do the survey, but I also invite you to do one other thing. They just put it up. I just got the word a while ago on our website of HeilSound.com. So you just put HeilSound.com in the old computer, and there's a new video. It was taken at NAMM, and NAMM just put this up on our pro site. You might enjoy it. It was really good. It was a nice little short interview with Sarah and I at the 50th anniversary. So you might want to go look and see that. And while I got that camera on, I had a wonderful visit this week from one of the stalwarts in the chat room. Marty was here. And to prove it, there's Marty and I. And I'm so happy that he was able to come to Springfield and we got to meet. And Marty had some business here, and it wasn't monkey business, but when he got here, it was monkey business because we got on the John Deere Gator and ran down and checked all the antenna boxes and all that. AD0PO is his call. He's in the chat room. And thanks for stopping by, Marty. That was a lot of fun. And I hope you had fun. And I went to see your friends yesterday. We had a really good time yesterday also. So I just love meeting everybody and at the shows and whatever. So that was kind of very special. And away we went. And last but not least, I've got so many emails, but there's a couple of special ones. I just got one a while ago from Dana Taylor. And Dana, she wants to know about how to record off the radio and play it back and so on. We'll do that next week, Dana. I just want to let you know. I just got it. But you know, we talked about last week about a guy having a problem, and he found out his little power strip was not helping him. Well, Jeff, KA1DBE, said he had the same type of a problem, but a little bit different twist. His outboard audio filter kept dropping out, and he remembered this show that we did about that and found out that his wall art was only rated at 300 mils. He changed it out to 500 mils, and bingo, his problems were all over. And one other that was really kind of good, and these are things that we all need to put in the back of our mind. Russ in 0JXR, he has a really noisy fan in his Ameritron AL80. Now, that's interesting because that's a great amplifier. It's got a 3-500, and this is serious stuff. But the fan was noisy. So he solved it by taking the fan out and putting some rubber grommets on it and remounting it again. Bingo. He also had an interesting question. Do you want a fan to blow in towards the tubes, or do you want it to exhale? You never want it to blow in. You want to suck that hot air away from that tube. So I just thought I'd see a couple of those, and we get so many, but Those are things that we cover, and we love it, to be able to help everybody. That's what this show is all about. George is going to have a couple more coming up here. And in a little bit, while Gordon and I are going to get into the microphones, I'm going to answer a lot of things, and it's going to take two to do that, and we will in a little bit. But in the meantime, Gordo's got some great shots. So let's go see. Gordo, how are your shots going today?
Well, they're going to be fine, and we hope that both South Carolina and North Carolina are fine because this is their big weekend, and if you're looking for South Carolina or North Carolina counties, they've got 100 in North and 46 in South, and they're going to be on the air Saturday and Sunday. North Carolina on Sunday, South on Saturday. So dry out, you kids, and get on the air. All right, let's take a look at some grab-and-go boxes. So, Brian, if you'll go ahead and let's take a look at grab. Now, well, we don't quite mean a box quite this large, but we're talking about portable grab-and-go boxes. This is the Pelican case, and the big thing about the Pelican case for holding equipment, it is submersible. It is waterproof. In fact, they even give you a little purge valve. So yay for Pelican case. This is one way to go, a grab-and-go package for a net control. And another type of grab-and-go is in a soft yellow bag that you see in the lower right-hand corner that we're using for field day a couple of years ago. And the nice thing about it is one side of the bag is a small solar panel. Well, it's not going to put out an amp, not a half an amp, maybe about 350 mils, but hey, that's better than nothing. So a grab-and-go kit that has a solar panel, this is good. This is my favorite. This is the good old Gordo grab-and-go kit. And it's a piece of carry-aboard luggage with wheels. And what we do is these double wheels on each side make sure it's not going to flip over as you're going over rough terrain. As you can see, this one's been through. And you simply make it up as you want to. Here I've got the ICOM rig. Mounted on the back of a lithium iron phosphate battery, so it's much lighter than when it was a sealed lead acid battery. Most important is that voltmeter. You really want to have that voltmeter so you can see it in the sun. Now, new meters that are digital, they do a great job, but nothing beats a good old analog voltmeter. In fact, you can use your setup to power other electronics if you're offering a class, have it all in one, and that is my version of the grab-and-go bag. And another version, worked by the American Red Cross, fellow's got a couple of radios in there, all nice and neat, and it closes up. A nice grab-and-go package. This one is put together by tac-com with two M's.com. www.tac-com.com. And the TACCOM supply is a good one. Look it up on the internet. If you're doing field day, it's probably going to be bright and sunny. And if you've got a laptop, be thinking about what can I use to shade that laptop so I can see the screen during field day. And here you see an operator has turned his grab-and-go package into a nice shield. And this package here, this is what we did for Quartz Fest with the big Heil headset. And this worked out great because the headset also takes audio out of the radio. And in the monitor position, you can hear what you're saying when you have the double earmuffs on from the Heil Super headset. But if you don't hear yourself coming back through the headset, let's say you're running the headset on a small little mobile radio, it's a little tough to concentrate because you need to hear what you're saying. So something to think about, the headset really for those radios with a monitor function. And it worked out very well. Now here's Tracy set up for the emergency communications service serving the Lake Arrowhead area. And you'll see he's got a nice sleek grab-and-go box. And when he seals everything up, it's probably not watertight, but it certainly is going to keep the dust out. And it looks good when you're operating at a EOC or operating at a specific transmit position. In this case, Baker to Vegas race that's coming up shortly. There's Tina, and she's in front of the radio setup, and she's ready to go. So there's another good grab-and-go setup. This one comes from iPortable. The iPortable setup allows you to get to the back of the gear so you can go ahead and make adjustments to the back. And we added this flexible LED string light, but you got to get the ones where the LEDs point down, not right in your face. And these, even though they point down, were still in our face, so a little bit of fingernail polish, and you're all set so you're not blinded. And it's quite a nice package. It's got a voltmeter right there. And that voltmeter is critical so you know what's happening on transmit. And here's the iPortable display at the Dayton Hamvention. Little expensive, about $300 a box. But look at all the stuff that they include to the left and to the right for the iPortable box. Here's the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary setup. They got their box at a different location and made up their own. Very nice and neat. And so the auxiliary really did a nice job, and notice they've got the LEDs so you can see what's happening at nighttime. And for my particular iPortable box, you can change the shelf lengths just by undoing a couple of screws on each side and customizing it exactly as you want it. And, of course, we use the Anderson power poles. But as you can see, those two wires, those are not going to handle more than about 3 amps. So if you're going to be running a big HF radio, you better go for the larger connections on the Anderson power poles. And remember, always exercise the Anderson power poles. Well, the Shure battery has been sort of a favorite among us communicators, but there's a new battery in town that you're going to see shortly, and it's from Bioeno. Spelling B-I-O-E-N-N-O, Bioeno Power. Bioeno Power. They are now the manufacturers of these great lithium iron phosphate batteries. I have mine Velcroed. And by the way, Velcro with a trademark. This Velcro sticky stuff, once you remove the back, it sticks to anything and everything. It's much better than just hook and loop stuff. So put the Velcro on the back of your lithium iron phosphate battery, slam it inside your battery box, and you are ready to go with a nice portable package. Now, this comes from Larry Jacobs, WA7Z Bravo Oscar. And you can e-him at WA7ZBO@ARRL.net. It's like an erector set. The actual erector part comes out of China. Looks like a Larson dual band antenna, and that's a chameleon antenna base. It's a 4-to-1, and notice at the bottom of that base, and we'll show you up personal, goes to ground, not to the hot part of your system. He put this whole thing together, and it was quite a nice package. So here's the backpack, and he's ready to go. He's got the lithium iron battery on the inside. And he is ready for both VHF as well as HF. So pretty nice package. And we're going to see more work from Larry on all that he's coming up with. WA7ZBO. Got the solar panels to keep it rolling. He's got a volt and amp meter. And while I don't recognize this particular brand name, I do know that it's a goodie because I've seen it before. And it measures both voltage and current. There's his connection to, in this case, the Shure battery. I've got several Shure, but when I try and contact the manufacturer, it's like, who cares? You know, we're not interested. These are really designed not for hams. And they sort of put me off. So that's why I'm all turned on with the Bioeno Power here in Santa Ana, California, in that they are really looking for a more ham business, and they give hams a discount if you mention Ham Nation. And this is some of the charger controllers, and this is a real quiet one. And look at this setup. It's got HF and the antenna, the chameleon antenna base on the right side, 4-to-1 balance. Got the VHF, UHF antenna on the left. And you want a Dick Tracy lunchbox radio? You are too much, Larry. Let's take a look at the inside. Well, we'll save the inside for later. But look at this. Out in Utah, Yahoo. He's got everything set up on the metal bench. And that metal bench also acts as a great ground plane. And he is set up, ready to roll. And he's on the trail, the Pony Express Trail. And for getting hams on the air for national parks, he's going to be ready to go. So some neat stuff that you see there. And Brian, if you'll come back to me. And here's what I want to show you on the chameleon. This is 3H24 thread, but this is the ground portion. This is where the coax goes that counterpoises off the ground, goes into the 4-to-1 ballon on the chameleon. And it'll load up most everything with not too much of a high SWR. So neat things about portable packages. And we're looking forward to you sending to Dale, our video guy. Show us your shack. Show us your portable package and we can roll them as a group. So that's our story at this end. We'll be back in a few minutes with Bob to talk about microphones. Back to you.
Hey, Gordon, that brand name you showed of that, I believe, Turnigy, that is a good brand. Anybody who deals with drones or radio control aircraft or anything like that will know that Turnigy brand. That is high quality stuff. I'll tell you something else that you can't do without is medicine. At one point, sometime in your life, you're going to have to take something for something. And I can wholeheartedly recommend a new company called PillPack. PillPack will arrive at your door in a convenient recyclable dispenser. It will do away with the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday plastic thing that you put all your pills in that eventually after 600 cycles of the little plastic door on top, it breaks off or it falls on the floor and opens up and all your pills are on the ground and blah, blah, blah. You know how it is. It's a pain in the behind. And then, of course, it's just going to the pharmacy and getting the bottles and then trying to get them open and putting them all in the little thing with the little lid that just forget about it. You want to do PillPack. It comes in this convenient recyclable dispenser. This is what it looks like right here. It is a little blue box and it sits on your counter. And on the back of it, this has over the counter like fish oil and melatonin and vitamins and stuff in it. But right there on the back, and this is a demo, so it doesn't have my name on it, but right there on the back, you see exactly what's in there with pictures. And right on the front of the packs, they have exactly what it is and what day it is and what time, but you can see through it so you can match up the picture with the actual pill. It's amazing. You're going to love this. And PillPack will pre-sort and deliver your medications and vitamins into these easy-to-tear packets. They're individually labeled, the date and time with each dose, as you saw, and they use robots and digital imaging technology along with pharmacist oversight to make sure that the accuracy is 100%. And, people are still an important part of the equation. PillPack has pharmacists, and they're available 24/7 from the privacy of your own home, so no more long lines, awkward conversations at the pharmacy, wondering if, you know, the person standing behind you is listening to everything you're saying to the pharmacist. Forget about all that. They also proactively call your doctor to manage all of your refills so you're never going to run out. Shipping is always free. There's no extra cost beyond your standard copay. You're going to love PillPack. And it's compatible with most major insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. When you sign up for PillPack, they make sure that everything is done and copacetic before they transfer any of your medications over. Switching is easy as it could be. Sign up on the secure website and they take care of everything for you. Time magazine called it a top 25 invention. Jill Duffy gave it a great review in PC magazine. They named it an editor's choice, a health service. There's also a PillPack medication reminder app for iPhone and Apple Watch. PillPack is a simple, convenient, modern. You're not going to believe how cool it is until you try it. I'm sold. I'm telling you. I don't take a lot of prescription meds anymore, but I do take a lot of vitamins, and this is the way to go. Here's what I want you to do. Visit pillpack.com/twit. Sign up now. The site is beautiful. It only takes 5 minutes to sign up, and when you use the link, transfer your prescriptions to PillPack. You'll get credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counter meds. And traveling couldn't be easier either, because you just if you're going to be gone for a week, you rip off a week of these little packets, throw it in your bag, and done. You don't have to worry about like I said, the lid opening on your little travel thing or losing it or anything else, because it's all just pull out what you need, throw it in your bag, and go. PillPack.com/twit. 5 minutes to sign up. You get credit, like I said, $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. PillPack.com/twit. You're going to wonder how you did without it. Bob, I think it's Audio Alley time. I'm going to get heavily medicated and listen to what you have to say.
Yes, it is. We started this, a couple of months ago, maybe? I don't know, 6 weeks? And thank you very much. I just get all of these requests. As I told you, I just got one from Dana right as we were hitting the air. We try to answer all of them. It's kind of impossible on the air, but I do try to get you an answer on email. And there's a theme running along all of these, and that's like, what microphone do we use? And it's really been difficult for me because I don't want you to think, oh, my God, we're going to get a big commercial here. No, we're going to talk about the science a little more. I always like to talk about the science, and that's been a problem in this industry. There's no rhyme or reason for some of these microphones, and we're going to go through some of these, and these are right out of the boxes, and let's go from there. You're going to hear some pretty horrible things and some pretty good things. So I'm going to turn this guy down, and here we go with this thing. I mean, it's to me, it's not usable. It's terrible, and when you try to make any kind of sense out of it, it's not there. But this is a microphone from one of the dealers from one of the accessory companies. And I don't understand. I guess people don't really listen to things or, well, hey, my meter's moving and Bill said I sound fine. No, you don't. So then you get into the next. This little guy is... it's what you call stock microphone. Well, I bought the $10,000 radio, and it came with the microphone, so it's got to be okay. No, it isn't. What's wrong with it? I always think, well, first of all, it's very hollow sounding. All of them are because they haven't paid attention to that. But the biggest problem with these is what I call the puffies. And Gordo's going to get into that in just a few minutes, but it just sounds like a hand mic, and it's not very good. So I did something about this last year. Again, we applied the science. Why do all hand mics sound like this? Because it's a microphone element in the clamshell. So we fixed that. And what I did is this. I took the element, put it in a little larger enclosure, but the secret, not a secret, my gosh, it's very simple. I opened up the top. So instead of it, if I close that top, it sounds just like the rest of them, real hollow and clammy. Open up the top and it sounds like a real microphone. It's a hand microphone and works on everything. I'm really, really happy with this because now we finally have it. And there's a lot of guys, that's all they want to do is use a hand microphone. Okay, good for you. Personally, I like to have microphones on booms because I'm always doing something. And that's why we brought booms to this industry. We were the first ones to do this back in the 1980s. But then you say, well, I'm going to get that other microphone here. This is a matching microphone, and it's a studio microphone. Really? Okay. So I'm going to plug this in for you.
Well, it ought to sound really good because it's, you know, it's made by the manufacturer. Well, no, it's not. None of these guys build their own microphones. And you say, well, it's matching. That means it's painted the same color, period. It has nothing to do with how it was engineered or designed. They stick the word studio on it, and you've been fooled. Well, no, I said that isn't going to happen because this was about in the 80s. I said, I'm going to do something about it, and so we did. And what happened here was along about 1995, I started seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and I came up with the most popular microphone that's been here to date, and that's the Goldline. And here is the Goldline, and all of the EQ is equal. So if anybody thinks I'm playing games, no. But listen to the difference. No, it's not matching. It's painted a different color, but it sounds so good. And we'll go back again. You can do this if you want. I need to really turn the gain up. That's another thing. These things are very low in gain. But when you compare them, it's like, what in the world happened? Well, what happened was
A little bit of engineering went into it, not so much about matching paint. And you know the rest of the story. When it comes to the microphones, we went on and into the other division, and that's well happened about what 19. It was about 19, somewhere about 89 and 90, I started working into the pro side, and then it was Joe Walsh that said, you got to do this. And we opened a whole Pandora's box, bringing some really high-quality stuff, and now thousands of radio stations and I don't know how many touring groups, and you know that story. But the reason I do this is to let you hear all of these differences. And what you have to do is what you're doing right now. Listen. Put on some headphones and listen. Dissect what you're hearing. Mentally dissect the harmonics. Does it have articulation? Most all of these do not. Ours do. It was one of the first things that I put into all the designs that we did, the S's and the P's and the D's, even without any kind of EQ, they're all there. Gordo has some further really good tips about using the microphones, especially in the handy talkies and all of the VHF work. Gordo, let's go back down to Costa Mesa and turn us on to how to use a microphone properly.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what we have found with these little guys. These are available, as you well know, from a lot of different sources. And the little tiny microphones where you speak into this little element right here, they just sound tinny. But to sound good, you need a good headset mic, one that is noise canceling. And we can tell it's noise canceling because if you look on the back of the Heil headset, you'll see that you can see elements on, elements on both sides. But that's on purpose, so it is noise canceling. Now, each of the microphones, especially for parades and out in the wilderness, come with a little microphone wind blocking. And let me show you, actually, let me let you listen to the importance of blocking the wind. Listen what happens when this communicator on a windy ridge is trying to get a message back to the battalion chief that the fire is overtaking them. Take a listen how they're completely obscured by
your
the wind.
Your objective or issue is being held in Fort Tola. Your structure looks good. I'm between your structure. Battalion 7, sorry, you were unreadable. Can you repeat? Sound like you had a lot of wind in the background.
Yeah, they were definitely unreadable. All that mush was the wind blowing across the face of the microphone. And with the Heil HMM, this microphone setup comes with these plugs that then plug into either Kenwood, Yaesu, Icom, Elenco mobile transceivers. But the headset, they come all ready to roll. You just order Kenwood, Yaesu, Icom. And if you have some of the foreign transceivers, you'll find that the Kenwood will many times work with the Baofeng and things like that. Now, with the new ID51, We plug right into the side. You do need to shave a little bit off of that rubber material, and then you'll have a great connection. And it's important to know where the microphone is because some manufacturers put it up at the top of the radio. Some put it down at the bottom on the ID51. It is perfect placement, as you can hear, like here. And we try and talk across the microphone because if you talk right in the top, every pop, 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 and then you'll sound like the Republican convention where all of the delegates had a pop every time that they were talking. So talk across the microphone, and you'll have much better reception. So that's the mic story, and if you really want to know what's inside, just take it apart, and oh, wow, it's got a whole different look than what I thought. So whatever's happening back there, Bob, in the lab, you're making it happen, and it really works well out at courtside in the wind. There's no popping, and there's no wind noise. Bob, back to you.
All right. Well, that's another thing that we try to do, and we don't try, we do it, but it's part of the design, and that's the rear rejection. And I really have fun because engineers will ask me, how did you do that? I did it with ham radio. What's ham radio got to do with it? Antennas. I learned about phasing from antenna, and that's why we have very different looking microphones. You think that's one of these stupid condensers. No, it's not. It's dynamic. But the side panels and all the microphones are like this. It has 40 dB of rear. When I turn it over, I don't hear much because it's 40 dB down. Your blowers and all that. And, of course, on stage, it's wonderful because we don't have all that trash from the back like condensers pick up. That's why there's no use for condensers in my world, and I've proven it. But I hope you learn a little bit here. We just keep going and write us, good or bad. Let us know if we're hitting the points for you. And we'll be back next week and talk about some more things. And we'll go from there. And we need to get into impedance matching transformers and stuff like that if you're into some of the vintage rigs. So a lot of stuff to talk about. But now we're going to go talk to George because he's got a word about ICOM and a really great video from Randy. So take her away, George.
Discover D-Star this season and operate over the internet gateway through repeaters. Uplink your local repeater, downlink from a remote repeater, and enjoy clear audio as you communicate with friends across the globe. Choose from five fun color options with the ID51A+. This D-Star dual bander features integrated GPS, free downloadable RSMS1A Android app, near-me repeater function for D-Star as well as analog repeaters, and it's available in classic black, sunset orange, passion pink, ultraviolet, and lime. If you're just starting out in D-Star, check out the ID880H. Features include VHF, UHF, dual band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure and easy programming, and fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. Interested in hands-free D-Star operation? Hit the road with the ID5100A. This radio offers optional Bluetooth capability, large backlit screen for high contrast viewing, and 50 watts of output power on both VHF and UHF. Limited shack space? No problem. The IC7100 base station is a great compact D-Star option. It covers HF, 6 meters, VHF, and UHF. An angle control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multiband and all-mode communications. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's D-Star radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats and a whole lot of other things. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for February, well, we've got a great radio here. It's the ICOM ID51A+. It's a dual-band, dual-watch handy-talkie. It's got GPS built-in, analog, and D-Star operation, DV and FM repeater search functions built-in, micro SD card slot, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Well, now I've got a short video here that K7AGE Randy did for us. You know, everybody's first antenna ought to be a quarter wave ground plane. It's the first probably project you should build when you get into ham radio. And Randy talks a little bit about that this week.
Hi there, I'm Randy, K7AGE with Paul, KE6NVU. I remember that. Great.
Good job.
And Paul is the president of the Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club here in Brookings.
Yep.
And today we had a Build Your Quarter Wave Antenna Day based on my video that I did. So,
yes, and it worked out very well.
So what all did we go through here today?
Well, we learned how to make the right length of wire. We learned how to solder. We learned how to cut the welding rod that we used to create the antennas. We learned how to hook a little, crimp a little connector on the end to hang it up in a tree. And we learned that it was possible for somebody that was a novice to be able to build something for a change, and they all went home happy.
Yeah, so this is the first time a lot of these people have built something or soldered, and so it was a lot of hands-on, and I think we built about 8 or 10 antennas or
something. Yeah, at least that many. Yeah, no, it was really rewarding for us, too. I mean, you know, we got a chance to pull out the old MFJ stuff and do the tactical stuff of creating the right length wires to build this stuff, and it was fun. I mean, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to doing this again, maybe with coax and connectors is what they're
asking for. Absolutely. That's what we're going to do next, and we're going to have a night class to do this over again for those who couldn't make it today, because it is 10 o'clock. People work for a living. Yeah. And we're going to have a lot more fun.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. It was a fun morning here.
Thanks for being here.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
73.
I built this.
I built it.
Oops, I broke it, too.
Well, thanks for that, Randy. You know, that's a simple little project, very easy to build, very inexpensive, and something you can actually use and be proud of. Well, you know, we hadn't talked about it in, 2 or 3 weeks, but I think next week we're going to pull out one of these here and do something actually useful with it. So stay tuned for that. Well, last week I asked you a question. Let me show it to you first. What makes the MFJ 270 Guardian Angel Lightning Suppressor work? You know, these things are really great to put on your antenna leads. This one's rated for 400 watts, and I think it goes up to 2 gigahertz. I don't have the specs in front of me right now, but it's a great lightning arrestor to kind of help keep lightning out of your rig. And I asked, what makes it work? Well, I got an answer from N0XL Bruce Wilkie. And Bruce said, the answer is it uses a gas discharge tube that shunts the 5,000 amps of peak impulse current to ground. And that's correct, Bruce. These are really great. I've used similars for years. And this is a nice one right here from MFJ. Check those out if you've got an antenna up in the air, and I think most of us do. We're going to be sending that to you, Bruce, and we're also going to send you 50 feet of DX Engineering 400 max coaxial cable here. It's a great large size coax with the cable connectors already on it, silver plated. Great DX Engineering coax there, and I think, you know, I'm having so much fun giving away Tim Duffy's coax that I'm going to give away some more next week. So if you need 50 feet of coax, and who doesn't, we'll answer this. And this question comes from the technician exam question pool. And you should know the answer to this one. It's pretty simple. Which of the following is a good electrical conductor? A, glass. B, wood. C, copper. Or D, rubber. If you know the answer to that, well, send me an email, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's winner. So that's it for me here tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Don Wilbanks, who can tell us all about the news.
Yes, we can. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1,999, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. If it's February, it must be time to head to Orlando. And our man on the scene at Hamcation, Gordon West, WB6NOA.
Wow, what a show. The 70th Orlando Hamcation tied into the 2016 ARRL National Convention in Orlando, Florida. 15,000 hams enjoyed wonderful weather there at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. We started off with the Instructor Academy on Friday morning, and Carol Perry with her youth forum sponsored by the Radio Club of America. Inside at 3 exhibit halls, 140 commercial vendors at Hamcation, 40 forums, VE testing, hourly prizes, I like this, that you could see on a smartphone with the right program. So it was a success. Let me tell you, huge affair, the 70th annual Orlando Hamcation. And this is Gordon West, WB6NOA for Newsline.
Of course, Gordon had lots more to say, and you can hear it all on this week's Newsline report. Amateur radio mourns another silent key.
The amateur radio community is mourning the death of David LeFevre, W7GOX of Las Lunas, New Mexico, who was a member of the Hurricane Watch Net for more than 20 years and who served as its net manager between 2006 and 2009. He had also served as a net controller for the Maritime Mobile Service Network. In 2013, he was given the status of receiving manager emeritus for the Hurricane Watch Net. The net manager, Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, credited him for his effective leadership on the air. He said, "Dave was one of the few I've met who had a very calming and reassuring voice during any emergency situation." The former Navy fighter pilot was 82 at the time he became a silent key on February 8th.
Jim Dameron, N8TMW, reporting. The only thing real about the earthquake in Utah earlier this month was the response it got from hams and other emergency team members. But that's what made the mock drill such a success. As we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
It was a mock 3-day drill called Operation Seismos that was designed to test emergency response. As various responders turned up, so too did some 160 members of the Rainbow Canyon's Amateur Radio Club, ready to relay messages from the scene of the fictional disaster. Don Blanchard, WA7GTU of the Rainbow Canyon's Amateur Radio Club, said the club's teams gave damage assessments from various simulated problem sites, reporting some of their findings by voice, others by digital mode, entering the details directly into the necessary government forms by email. Emergency Management Coordinator John Hiley called the hams' use of digital communications via email groundbreaking. He told the St. George, Utah News, "We are doing things not done elsewhere in the world as far as communications with our ham radio operators. We are not just practicing voice communication, but they are using digital communications." He said this was the first time the technique was used in an emergency simulation setting, but it won't be the last. Another drill is set for March. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
And finally, next week, Newsline will release its 2000th report. We'll have a look back at how it all started, and you'll hear a voice familiar to longtime Ham Nation viewers, that of Robert Sudock, WB6FDF. Robert was the original reporter on the Ham Nation headlines, and he goes way back to before there was a Newsline. It'll be a special report for all of us, and we hope you'll listen in. But that's next week. And for now, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting, at www.arnewsline.org. With Gordon West, WB6NOA, Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Bobby Best, WX4ALA, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right. I've got some in my hand here that's kind of cool. This is my Heil goal line mic that I've had forever, and there's a feature of this microphone that I don't think even Bob knows. It's magical. If I take this, just like a magic wand, if I take it and point it at the camera and slowly move it around, you will magically see the YL with the golden locks. The gold line will bring her to us. I believe it's Valerie with DX. Look
voila
at that.
It's Valerie, NV9L. And you know, the first thing I ever won at Dayton was a Heil gold line mic. So thanks, Bob, for donating that. Hey, I'm joined today. This handsome devil to my right is Jerry, WB9Z. And the reason he's here is he was one of the 9 operators on Palmyra, the K5P de-expedition. So we put together this little video for you about Palmyra. And he's going to stick around in case you have any questions in the chat room after the show. So take it away. Show it, Brian.
First off, I'd like to thank John K6MM for letting me use some of his slides. So where is Palmyra? It's about 1,000 miles south of Honolulu. It's comprised mostly of coral and sand and does contain a 5,000-foot runway. So it has that going for it. It did have a naval air station back in World War II. One thing they did not have going for it was the curse of Palmyra. A lot of sailors used to go to Palmyra and hang there for the summer, including one couple, Mac and Muff Graham, along with another couple, Buck and Stephanie. A ham radio operator on the island of Hawaii became concerned when he lost daily contact with Mac and Muff. A month later, Buck and Stephanie showed up in Honolulu on Mac and Muff's boat. It was disguised, but everybody recognized it, so they were arrested for boat theft. And years later, the remains of Muff were found on the island. So then the couple was arrested, this time for murder. Stephanie was acquitted and Buck was found guilty. Now you can learn all about this with a couple of books and even a made-for-TV movie. Ah, but the curse does not end there. In 1980, a ham radio de-expedition was heading to Palmyra and crash-landed. Now, the YL on the team suffered a spinal fracture, and she needed to be evacuated. The rest of the team operated from both Kingman and Palmyra for about 3 days until the team's doctor, a neurosurgeon, suffered lacerations on his hand, and so the entire team was evacuated. Ah, but curse or no curse, this team was bound and determined to go. Why? Number 9 worldwide and number 2 in Europe on the most wanted list. And here's a look at some of the items the support team took care of to make sure Palmyra went nice and smooth. And finally, the time came for the on-island team to head off to Honolulu. And here they are, going through all their supplies, getting ready to be loaded on the jet. Until the pilot informs them they're too heavy. Only essential personal items are allowed to go in small plastic bags. See the small plastic bag to Jerry's right? That's all he took. And they're off with a flyby over Kingman Reef. I mean, it is on the most wanted list, and it's kind of on the way. Here's their red carpet welcome, Palmyra style. Now, the island normally has a population of 6, but with the team arriving, they're now at 15. Here's kind of a map or layout of the island, and along the route to the galley, there's their first look at the campsite. And here's the galley, or the kitchen, mostly, an eating area. They had a lot of their meetings here. And there is the staff on Palmyra. And let's take a look at the deluxe accommodations. Believe me, compared to most of the expeditions, these are deluxe. Now, here's a look at John's cabin, K6MM's. And most of the cabins were real similar to this. They each had a couple of beds and other amenities. And on this island, there's actually toilets, flushable toilets. But wait, there's more. There's even a shower house and laundry facility on the island, which came in real handy since their personal items could fit in the palm of your hand. But the most important building for us hams is the dry lab, because that became K5P headquarters. It was very spacious, with electricity, protected from the elements, even had air conditioning. What's not to like? Now let's check out all the antennas on the island. They had a step IR on the east end, also one on the west end, and a spider beam pole became an 80-meter vertical. And here's their step IR on the north side of the building, and a two-element vertical array for 20 meters. Now, was that hot enough for you, Jerry? Ah, but the Palmyra curse rears its ugly head. After raising and lowering the Battle Creek Special 11 times, it is no more. So they turn it into an inverted L for 160. They also erect a shared apex loop as a receiving antenna for 80 and 160. And here's a look at their 6-meter Yagi and the antenna farm from above. When all was said and done, they had used 2,400 feet of coax. And the team was able to get on the air within 10 hours after arriving. And their first contact, JA3EA. And here's a look at the setup for one of the stations on Palmyra. And a glimpse of all of the stations. Unfortunately, the 6-meter station logs 0 cues. And here is your crew. We've got Mike, Hal, and Craig on Team 1. Dick, Glenn, and Tom are on Team 2. John, Lou, and Jerry comprise Team 3. And despite the noise difficulty with the dragon, here's what we sounded like from Palmyra.
Charlie 9, Uniform, Japan, Sierra, 5-9. Thank you.
Hotel Charlie 1, Quebec, Radio Charlie.
Hotel Charlie 1, Quebec, Radio Charlie, 5-9.
Thank you. Also 59, Tito, thank you.
Thank you.
Bravo 7, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec.
Okay, who's the Whiskey Bravo 7? You're 5-9.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec. You're 5-7, 5-7 in the state of Washington.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Bravo, Bravo, Quebec, 5 and 9. Thank you.
Roger, roger. You send me the...
Whiskey 8, Kilowatt, Japan.
WA Kilowatt, Japan, 5-9.
Thank you, Jerry, 59.
Nice to see you, Kevin.
Thank you, thank you.
See you at Dayton.
All right, man.
We'll have a beer.
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh, busted. Zone 14, Western Europe, about as far as you can get from Palmyra. And I have no words for this. And here's a look at some of the items they got to eat while they were on Palmyra. And even though the meals were prepared for them, they still had to do a little bit of work on the side. And here's a glimpse of Palmyra's splendor and beauty. And this is where Palmyra gets its power. And here's some cool buildings that still remain intact on the island. And some more wildlife found in and around Palmyra. Now these spiders are big and venomous, but don't cause any serious harm if bitten. And a special thanks goes out to the major donations provided by these sponsors. Well, they're all packed up and ready to go, but where's their ride? Oh, here it comes. And here's a look at the QSO's log by band and mode. And here it's breakdown by continent. And as you can see, they had over 75,000 contacts, 18,000 uniques. A successful de-expedition indeed. Now make sure you look for the full presentation coming to a ham fest or club meeting near you. And I just love that shot of the jet coming in. That was, Jerry had the GoPro on his head for that one. So I just love that shot. But anyway, he's going to stick around for the chat room. So if you have any questions, give them to Amanda and he'll try and answer them for you. So right now I'm going to head it back over to Don, who's going to talk to you about DX engineering.
Amazing. I loved it. Now, how much coax did you say they had on Palmyra again? 2,500 feet, 20, something like
2400 that? 2,400 feet of coax.
Wow. Now, yeah, here's
put
something
all the connectors
I want.
On.
Oh, yeah. I
did all
bet.
The connectors, Don.
Wow. No kidding. Mr. Sauter for sure. Now, here I want to talk to you about DX Engineering, and we're going to talk about something that I don't care if you've got a 2-meter mobile going into a little homemade ground plane like we saw earlier in the video, or if you've got a $15,000 radio going into a Step IR or stacked Yagis, multibanders, it doesn't matter. There's one thing in common, and that is you've got to have cable between your radio and your antenna, or you ain't doing nothing. You can roll your own like Jerry did, or you can use the brand new custom cable builder at dxengineering.com. You can design your own custom cable. You don't want your stuff looking like that, believe me. You want custom, and DX Engineering will do it for you. That's the beauty of it. It's they do their own custom cable and ground braid assemblies. I have been there and watched them do this, and it is an amazing oh my Lord! If you ever get the chance to go to DX Engineering up there in Ohio, you really need to go and check this out. Now they're doing the high pot testing there, where they just run a bunch of voltage through there and make sure that shrink tubing is on there just right. And if it's not on there just right, I have actually watched them rewarm that and move it and get it back just the way that the lady who was putting that stuff together wanted it. It is amazing attention to detail. You're going to absolutely love the custom cable builder. It'll save you time, so you don't have to stress about building your own cables. It saves you money since you're only buying the exact length of cable that you want. You need to visit dxengineering.com and try it out. No obligation until you complete the purchase. You can also see all of the connectors and cable options you have to build your cable. And, of course, if you have any questions, DX Engineering's technical support is second to nobody. I promise you, you're going to love this. DX Engineering will make this video available to you 24/7 in the video library part of the Tech Info and News section. You'll find that at dxengineering.com. I want you to go to dxengineering.com/hamnation. And remember, DX Engineering will ship faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your ground shipping order in by 10 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way that day. Even as late as 10 o'clock at night. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Here's the catalog right here. This thing is, I love it. And they've got custom cable. They've got radios. They've got go kits. They've got everything, including note cubes. So you can take notes and write down everything you want, and you'll rip this off, and you get on the horn, and you go, hey, I need one of these, and I need one of these, I need one of these, I need one of those. Or, of course, you can do it all at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you, DX Engineering, for being part of our Ham Nation family. Now, another member of the Ham Nation family, that, of course, is Amanda in the chat room, another of our fair-haired, golden-headed YLs. How are you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing so good, and I was just thinking, you know what I would do with that big cube of paper? That would be individual QSOs that I wrote down because I didn't have my logging software opened at the time, and it's all I had to write on. So I guess each their own. Some have order lists, some have QSOs written down because they're all over. I have Post-it notes everywhere, so that cube would come in handy. Just saying. Anyhow, I'm doing great. And Jerry, so glad to have you on the show tonight. I have a lot of questions for you, but I'm going to get to some announcements first. So first one we had is Gordo was so proud of this guy. 13 years old, 7th grader at Redeemer Lutheran School. The Fond du Lac Amateur Radio Club hosted a tech exam. Well, this kiddo, Isaac Lundberg, he passed his tech and then went on to take his general and passed it too. So congratulations, Isaac. Can't wait to hear you on the bands. He does not have his call sign yet, but look forward to having him get it. And I have several friends out there for you, Marty and Chris, Hambone Chris. They'll be ready to talk to you. So with that, one other thing, there's going to be a winter fest in Perry, Iowa, hosted by the Hiawatha Amateur Radio Club. And that's going to be February 27th. This Saturday. So anyone in the area, make sure you can join in there. So without further ado, Jerry and Val, so nice to have you. Jerry, I know Val's so happy to have you home. The first thing is we had some questions about your antennas that you guys used at the de-expedition. Some people were upset that you weren't using possibly what they preferred as the right antenna. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, the powers to be that make all the decisions on the island did not want us using horizontal antennas. It's more chance for the birds to fly into and get hurt. They insisted that we only use vertical antennas. And if you look at some of the pictures, even the guy ropes, we had to put little orange flags on them. And again, it was not by our choice, but it was we had to play by the rules.
I completely understand. I mean, this is an animal sanctuary that you were on, was it not?
Yes, it is. It's a protected wildlife sanctuary, and it's very pristine. And there's hardly any other place, any other islands in the world that are this protected.
Very good. So much so you couldn't even squish those ugly spiders. I can't believe those spiders. Thank you, Val, for giving me nightmares tonight. Other than that, another question for you was, do you guys ever work RITI, JT-65, PSK, anything like that during your de-expeditions?
We sure do. We worked a lot of RITI. I think the numbers are in the 5,000 or 6,000 contacts on RITI. JT-65 and PSK are just too slow for us de-expeditioners. RITI is much faster, and as far as I'm concerned, RITI is a lot more fun.
Oh, I hear you. And speaking of RITI, Val, are you participating in a RITI contest this weekend?
Yeah, I believe we will be. We just did WPX RITI, and I think we're going to do the NAQP RITI this weekend as well. Or at least I will, maybe. We haven't decided what we're going to do, but one of us will be competing, probably me.
Very fun. And how'd you do last weekend, by the way?
How many QSOs?
Just over 2,000.
Number three USA so far on raw scores.
Just under 5 million points in just over 2,000 contacts.
Oh. But we had fun. That's what it's all about.
48 hours.
Absolutely. So with all these contests up and coming, are you going to be able to work the next DX contest? I think that's next weekend, right?
Yeah.
ARRLDX phone. Yeah, that's absolutely coming up. We got a bunch of people coming in. It's going to be a party, inside party.
Oh, good. That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, another question for you, Jerry, real quick. I know you guys get so much feedback after your de-expeditions. You come back and your like email boxes are full. Do you actually personally answer some of those emails, or do you guys have people that do that for you?
So a lot of the emails on this expedition were answered from the island or when we got back home. So, yeah, we were lucky we had slow internet, but at least we had internet.
Very good. I'm so happy. I got to work you guys at least once. I was thrilled about that. And that's
glad to hear that.
It was fun. You guys sounded, you were awful sounding. I got to tell you, I heard you guys twice out of every single day I was listening. And then the one time I finally heard you, I think you had to switch operators and I had to go to work. So it was a rough deal. I was really, really happy to make the one contact. That was nice.
What band was that, Amanda?
I'd have to double check, but I think it was, I'm going to say 15. I have to check it, but it was one time in the morning, right before I went to work. It was the only time I could ever hear you. And I was half an hour late.
Was that with your new tower and antenna?
No, that was with a 40 meter loop. If you can believe that, with about 500 watts. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to using
this. This was
it.
A tough one. They were a tough one to hear. From Nine Land. I don't know about other places in the country, but it was hard for me to get them.
And conditions were not that great either, but, you know, we kept the stations on the air around the clock for 2 weeks. There was hardly any breaks at all, so we did the best we could. 75,000 contacts isn't too bad.
No, you guys did great, and your patience, I'll tell you, your patience with people, I would have lost my cool a long time ago. So great job, Jerry. You and the gang do a wonderful job on those things. Bob, I don't have any Audio Alley questions because you do your segment so good. Nobody had any questions.
Wait, I have an Audio Alley question for Bob.
What's that?
Why would anybody buy a condenser mic? What would that be? What would be a good use for that?
There is none. And I say people think I'm an idiot.
But I prove it. They're just useless. They pick up everything, and they all have this raspy tie. That's what really bugs me. They got all that raspy tie. That's not the way things sound. And they're just way too sensitive, and they should never be plugged into a ham radio. And now we're starting to find out we're not plugging them into live sound either, because they pick up the whole stage. But there has never been anything of dynamics that even got close. But we did it. And again, thanks to my great friend Joe for giving me the idea. Jerry, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Lovely, lovely. And your video was great, as always, Valerie. So appreciate you you guys being there. And I know you had a lot of fun. That I know. How was the food? Was it really good?
Oh, the food was great. And the cook, he was a professional cook. He had been to the schools. So, yeah, the food was good. Some of the best I've ever had on an expedition, next to when we went to Amsterdam Island, and we had a French chef taking, feeding us. They were really close, in quality and taste. So we were lucky on this one.
And I guess they made some kind of baked bacon with brown sugar and pepper on it. I'm going to have to try, but the entire team did nothing but rave about that bacon. So,
bacon.
All right. Well, hey, to further answer the one other thing about that, Valerie, a lot of people buy them because they're cheap. There's only a couple of companies in China, and they make the same little cheap element, and they're building these cheap condensers, and oh, I have a condenser, and they again don't listen. They don't listen to all of the problems that they have, and that's important. So that's the answer to that. Well, listen, come back again, Jerry, and join us. We sure enjoy having you and your knowledge and your experiences. It's just great. And, keep up the great work. We're all here to try to get more points when you guys take off. That's great. So I think we're going to try to wind it all up. Do we have 40 meters happening tonight? Anybody got a frequency yet?
I also want to remind people to make sure they take that survey, twit.tv/survey.
Yeah, it's
I don't have them frequent. Sorry.
Yeah, I know the dewdrop's going to be on. Let's see, the same place that always is. They were just there. There it is. Yeah, 3558. Ooh, that's where they are. And on 40 meters, just look around. Probably 7268, somewhere up in there, and see what's happening on 20 meters. 14268. Is on W7UDI. Steve is there. I know that because he just posted it in the chat room. Well, thanks, everybody. So much fun. And I'm going to move up to 7280 and see if we can make some noise up there for everybody. And we'll find you somewhere, a little high, a little low. And then I fire up the AM gear in a little bit, and we'll be there. In the meantime, have fun. Keep it all together. Keep all the gear going, and put up your antennas. And we're starting to get into the spring, so you know what that means. You get to put up bigger antennas. 7-3, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on Ham Nation. Tell your friends, tell your family, everybody. So long for now.
73. Hey, Jerry, I do have to ask you a question. I was just looking at my logs for when I contacted K5P. That was so long ago, I can't even remember. I feel silly. I worked you guys on 40 meters, and I have it logged as 7.093. So you must have been working a huge split, because I must have worked you around 7140 is where you were listening. Does that sound correct?
That sure does sound correct.
Okay.
We were okay. Yep.
Awesome. So
congratulations. 40 meters is a tough band on sideband. You did a good job, Amanda.
Well, thank you. I was looking at it like, so I wasn't working CW, so I know that I wasn't talking on that frequency. So I realized that you must have been, talking that low, and I was talking on around 7140. So awesome. Thank you. I know I have it logged right now. I feel good. Thanks, you guys.
Hope you get your card soon.
Me too.
See you next.
Bye-bye for now.